You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
You got your Bible, Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24. It's been a joy to be a part of Youth Conference this week. And I appreciate the opportunity to preach with these men, Brother Epley and Brother Brown and Brother Flood. Brother Flood, that was excellent preaching this morning.
Yep.
One of these days, you're going to have to make it yours. It's amazing. You were out here playing with the kids while we were sitting in the room this morning, and we were having the very discussion about young people going to have to make up their mind. They're going to have to make it mine. There's songs that I made it mine. And sooner or later, you better thank God you do have some spiritual leaders in your life that have directed you and trained you and taught you. But sooner or later, you're going to have to make a decision to embrace that for yourself. But if you will, you'll find out that everything those ones that led you in, it really is what they said it was, and a whole lot more. Amen. And I thank the Lord for it. Brother Treiber, thank you for allowing me to be a part of these services. And I just soon preach to young people as to preach to anybody. And I think about the opportunities and the potential that is sitting here on these pews. Man, and many of you are sitting here, and much has been sown into your life from your parents, your teachers, your youth pastors, your friends. And that really, be honest with you, just makes you more accountable. And I watch your faces as the service goes on. And I think, man, just what could be done out of this group right here? And some of you are reaching that place where it's time to make a decision of what you're going to be. And I thank the Lord. Brother Flood, thank you for all the hard work that's gone in. Brother Reimers has been so gracious to us, and Brother Evertson and Brother Alvin, as they've taken care of us. And fellas, it's been a real honor to preach with you. Tremendous preaching, and I thank the Lord. Joshua chapter number 24. You've been sitting for a minute. Let's stand together. Man, I'll be honest with you, we've been over in the other building singing a little bit, and I sort of felt like we were having church over there, just to be honest. You better realize this, young person. The reason we struggle with public worship is because we lack in private worship. When you come to church, your worship life in church ought to be out of the overflow of your private life. If you think you've got to have a choir loft or a church pew or a platform to meet with Christ, you're missing out on the greatest times of your Christian life. I ride a lot in meetings. If I'm within 2.5-3 hours of home, in a revival meeting, I'll make that drive every night. I'll drive 2.5-3 hours to church and 2.5-3 hours home. And a lot of time spent in the car, just me and the Lord. And it gets mighty rich in there sometimes. I have had to pull over on the side of the road, on the country road somewhere, and just get out and praise the Lord for a little while. You say you act like that, you might too if it got that real to you. Amen. And I thank the Lord. But I promise you this, if it ever gets that way, I mean, you don't have to have a CD, you don't have to have a radio, just meditating on Him, and He'll come by and fellowship with you, and it's wonderful. And I tell you, that Bible, when you open that book, I like what you said, that will be our guide. That's how we will measure what's the truth. But I'm sure thankful that the God of that Bible will step off the pages of that book and land somewhere in the deep recesses of your soul and fellowship with you. And it's wonderful. Joshua chapter number 24, very familiar scripture. The Lord will help me. I want to challenge you this morning in my time that I have with you. The Bible said in verse number 14, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve." It's high noon, friend. Man, in Western days, that's life or death. I'm going to meet you on Main Street, and there's going to be a man right down the road, and he's going to have a Colt 44. They called them hog legs back then. And you stand in that middle row, and when the town clock struck 12, Somebody was going to pull a pistol, and somebody was going to walk away, and somebody was going to have to be carried out and put in a box. And I say to you, it's Wednesday morning. You've got a Wednesday morning fish service tonight, tomorrow night. It's time to make up your mind. It's time. I appreciate the ones that got saved yesterday. Yes. To God be the glory. But some of you still haven't even made that decision. You've had opportunity after opportunity to trust Christ. It's time. It's time to. We used to call it in sports. It's time to put up or shut up. Yeah. Amen. I mean, all those guys, we used to play ball, and before the game, they'd be over there chirping, and they'd be over there running that mouth, and, you know, they're going to get me. But let me tell you something. It wasn't going to be long. The band was going to quit playing, and the whistle was going to blow, and talk was over.
Yep.
And then you heard the snapping of the helmets. Amen. And I don't look much like of an athlete now, but there was a day when I was one. And I was in shape. Don't look at me and judge me now. And I will say this, I took geometry and round is a shape. Amen. I used to have a little bit harder edges on me at times. But let me tell you something, friend. When that whistle blew, it didn't matter how loud you could talk. It mattered how hard you could hit.
Yep.
Hello? Are you listening to me? And it's time. It's time to make a choice. This world is looking for people that'll stand up and be counted for the cause of Christ. It said, so choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, hallelujah. They sung that song at our wedding 30 years ago, hallelujah. And it's still the heartbeat of our home today. Before my boys ever got here, it was mine and my wife's heart to serve the Lord. And that didn't change when our first son arrived. And it didn't change when our second son arrived. And it didn't change when they became teenagers and were feeling the pressures of the world. We made a decision a long time ago. I made a decision in meetings just like this, that as for me and my house, we were going to serve the Lord. Amen. And you can be seated. The Lord helped me this morning. I want to take these two verses of scripture and I want to preach on this thought. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to be a Christian. I read about a time when President Ronald Reagan was just a young man, and his aunt took him to a local shoe cobbler to have a new pair of shoes made. And the cobbler looked at the young Ronald Reagan and he asked him this question. He said, do you want square-toed shoes or do you want round-toed shoes? And he struggled to decide what kind of shoes that he wanted. So Reagan didn't answer the cobbler, and the cobbler said, I tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a few days to think about what kind of shoes that you want. Several days later, the cobbler bumped into Ronald Reagan on the street, and he asked him again. He said, Ronald, what kind of shoes do you want? Do you want square-toed shoes or do you want round-toed shoes? And he stood there and really couldn't make his mind up, couldn't make a decision. So the cobbler looked at him and said to him, he said, I tell you what, just come by the store in a few days, and he said, I'll have your shoes ready for you to pick up. And just a few days later, Ronald Reagan went down to the shoe store, the shoe cobbler's store, and he picked up his shoes. And when he took his shoes out of the box, he found that one was a square-toed shoe and one was a round-toed shoe. And the cobbler looked at Ronald Reagan as a young man and said this to him. He said, this will teach you to let other people make your decisions for you. And what would become our future president, he said this. He said, what that taught me as a young man, it taught me that if you don't make your own choices, somebody will make them for you. And some of you are not careful. If you don't make some decisions in the week that God's given here, you at youth conference, somebody is going to make those choices for you, and you may not like what you've been left after they've made those decisions. I mean, honestly, the fact of it is, as long as you live, you're going to be faced with choices. It doesn't matter if you're a young person. It doesn't matter if you're a middle-aged person. It doesn't matter if you're a single person or a married person. It doesn't matter if we're in full-time ministry or you work a public job. It doesn't matter if you're old. You are faced with decisions on a daily basis, and invariably and inevitably the choices that are made are going to determine the course that you travel. The truth of the matter is your life is going to be a sum of the choices that you make in your Christian life. May I say to you, the greatest decision, the greatest choice that you will ever make in your life is to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. That is the greatest day of my life. Was not the first time that I caught a touchdown pass in a high school football game. The greatest day of my life was not when I took the basketball for the first time and dunked it in a game. And the greatest day of my life was not when I took a baseball bat and hit a grand slam in the playoffs to win a walk-off game. That was not the greatest day. I tell you what, August the 19th, 1995 was a great day because the back doors of a little country church opened up and a little red-headed bride in a snow-white dress walked through the back doors of that church and became my wife. Amen. On Father's Day of 2000, my first son was born at 32 weeks. He weighed less than 4 pounds. I held him in my hand like a grip in a basketball. He was so small. That was a great day. And then on December the 12th, when my second son was born, it was a great day. But the greatest day of my life was on a Sunday morning about 12:15 as a 13-year-old boy when I got under conviction and I responded to the invitation of the Holy Ghost to trust Christ. That is the greatest day. I tell you what, I could have graduated from college with honors. I could have been an all-state athlete and died and went to hell. But what I did that morning as a 13-year-old boy, it sealed my eternity. It sealed the fact that I am a member of the family of God. It was a high noon moment. There was absolutely no telling where I would be today had I not trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. But right behind making the decision to trust Christ as your Savior, it's the choice to fully sacrifice and to fully surrender and to fully submit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never be everything that God intends you to be until you take your hands off of your life and say, not my will, but thine be done. If the Lord Jesus had to do that, don't you think you and I are going to have that decision day sometime? Amen. Amen. That's what happened that you were preaching about this morning. Do I want it or do I not? Yeah. And what you did was you took your hands off your life and you said, I choose Jesus.
Amen.
I choose Jesus. Are you listening to me? Amen. Look at your Bible. I think about this text. Man, it's been preached so many years. It's been preached. Joshua is the commander and chief of the Israeli army. He's the most influential political leader in the nation of Israel at this time. But when Joshua makes this statement, he's not making it as a general. He's not making it as a politician, but he's making it as a daddy. He's making it as an individual. This is not a national statement. It's a personal statement. I ask you this, have you ever chosen to be a Christian? And everything that goes with it. I know it's being propagated in this day and time that there's no boundaries and there's no expectations and we act like if you're really a Christian, there's not going to be any reproach. But if you live for God and you're a biblical Christian, I'm talking about whole council Christian, there's responsibilities that God puts on. There's places you're not going to be able to go. There's people you're not going to be able to be with. There's decisions that you're going to have to use the word of God to guide you. But can I tell you, it is the most fulfilling life. The Christian life is the best life that there is. You don't have to wake up in the morning with regret and worry about if somebody knew what you did last night. Joshua said, look at here. I don't care what you may do over there, what you may do over here. But look at here, as for Joshua and Miss Joshua and Joshua's children, we will serve the Lord. I want you to notice verse 14. There's a critical responsibility. A critical responsibility. Notice what your Bible said. It said in verse 14, therefore, fear the Lord. Who quoted that yesterday? Was it you, Brother Sam, who quoted that in Proverbs 1, or was it you, Brother Joe? One of y'all quoted that Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. May I say to you, we're living in a day that we've got a God today that we don't want a God that's to be feared. We want a God that's to be used. Amen. Not one who is concerned about holiness. Not one that's concerned about living right. There's more concerned about our happiness than he is our holiness. Let me tell you something. When I got saved, listen, God was not concerned about my happiness. He was saving me to make me holy and acceptable unto God, friend. I'm telling you, do you fear the Lord? Do you fear God? I mean, listen, I'm not talking about a terror field, but when I lived at home, are you listening to me? I had a healthy fear of my father. Yeah. Amen. I didn't live in the United States of America. At the end of my driveway, that's where America stopped. Stroudland was at the end of that, Stroudsburg, USA. There was no constitutional rights there. It was a dictatorship. Amen. Somebody asked me one time, said, did you ever feel tempted to get an earring and go home? I said, no, not whatsoever. I said, I appreciated the fact my ear was attached to my head. Amen. Are you listening to me? I had a healthy fear. I didn't feel my dad was going to hurt me. I didn't feel like he was going to abuse me. I knew he was going to do his best for me. But I had a healthy fear that if I did not obey the rules and respect my authority in my home, I realized there were going to be repercussions. Amen. I never feared that he was going to strike me with his hand and hit me in the mouth or abuse me. But you better believe I feared him. Are you listening to me? I tell you what, listen, A.W. Tozer said it this way. He said, no one can know the true grace of God who has not first known the fear of God. Hey, you remember when you got under conviction? I feared God. I realized he could put me in hell. I realized that I was lost and on my way to hell. But can I tell you why the grace of God was so precious? Because I remember when that condemnation came off of me. I remember when that fear of dying and going to hell came off of me. And that grace was sweet to my soul. It was because I knew something about the fear of Almighty God. You know what? The problem with some of your homes, and I'm not being ugly, but some of you kids, the reason you're struggling with your mom and dad's rules, you ain't got no fear. Right. Before Joshua ever spoke about rules, he spoke about reverence. Here's your pastor, North Valley Baptist Church. You young people, some of you, the reason you have struggle doing what he says is you don't reverence him like you ought to. You'll get to the place, if you ever get right with God, that you're more concerned with breaking the heart of God than you are breaking the rules of God. Amen. 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 Was it one of you said, who was it yesterday was telling me, y'all saw somebody in town and they asked you what you were doing here. Was that you, Brother Joe? And they said, you're over where North Valley, they said something about Moses, was it?
He said, oh yeah, that's where Moses
is. Oh, that's where Moses is at. That's the reputation a man of God has. That ought to be the kind of reputation every man of God ought to have. That's a man that loves people. You know what I found out? My mom, when I was a boy, worked for one of the most wealthy men in the Southeast. She was a secretary for his executive assistant for years, and she was known throughout our community. And I would be out in town or playing ball, and they'd say, you're Gene Stroud's son. You're Gene Stroud's son. I think about Miss Forever. I saw you sitting back there. There probably weren't many places you could go as a young person where they wouldn't say, you're Dr. Treber's daughter. You're Dr. Treber's daughter. You're Dr. Treber's daughter. You're grandchildren. You're Dr. Treber's grandchildren. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? As much as I knew mom and dad had rules, I didn't want to embarrass them. Yeah. I didn't want to drag their name and their testimony that they had worked for so long, and that reverence that I had for my mom and dad. I didn't want to let them down. I didn't want to disappoint them. And some of you struggle with rules because you struggle with boundaries, but it's because you have no fear of God. You don't care if you break his rules, because you don't care if you break his heart. Her little girl one time got invited to a party, and she told her friend, they said, well, you can't go. You're afraid your daddy's going to beat you? You afraid your daddy's gonna whoop you? She said, no. Well, then why can't you go? She said, I don't want to break my daddy's heart.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. You worried about getting as close as you can to the line. You worried about getting your skirt just as short as you can to the knee. You're trying to get you. Hey, boys, let me tell you something. If it's wrong for young ladies to wear tight clothes, it's the same thing for you, boys. Yeah. Amen. Your tight jeans and your tight shirts. And, God help. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Amen. You're much of a man and you did something to them britches and worked a little bit. You could help them to be loose. Amen. Squeeze your guts out. Amen. Everybody okay? I felt a little brother Tony on me right there. Amen. Y'all pray for me. Amen. We all worried about rules. If we ever got concerned about reverence, the rules would take care of itself. Amen. Amen. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about a sincere fear. What about it said in verse 14? Look at your Bible. Serve him in sincerity and truth. That's what Brother Flood was preaching to us about this morning. Why are you doing it? Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. The love of Christ constraineth me. Are you serving him? I mean, a singular focus. Is your heart to serve Christ? I didn't ask you, was your heart to preach? I'm talking about serving Christ. We think the only way you serve Christ is in a pulpit or in a choir or on an instrument. There's a lot of the greatest Christians I've ever known never stood behind a pulpit. But when they go to their prayer closet and they say, Lord, he says, yes. Amen. Singular focus. Let me tell you something. You go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 through 7. It reminds us of how we as parents and leaders ought to teach our children diligently the truth of God. I mean, think about it. Everywhere Abraham left, everywhere he went, he left an altar.
Right.
He left a place of worship for his family. A singular focus. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 14. I'm talking about a sold out faith. Put away your gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Well, that was such powerful truth. Oh, Jehoiada died this morning. They come up there and moved him. And then Joash, the boy king that God had sent revival to Israel as a result, now is killing the son of the very prophet that had spoke truth into his life. Are you listening? And it said they left and they served the idol. Let me tell you something, friend. You there in that verse, that little phrase, there's a forsaking and a following.
Yeah.
And there's got to be a forsaking first. There's got to be a forsaking first before there's a following. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Some of us, we want to be saved enough, young men, to get a good girl. But we don't want to be holy enough if she wants to do something that's not right. You don't want to be that holy that you'll be by yourself. Young lady, you want a young man that you think's going to be around for a while, and you want to have enough God about you to attract that kind of young man, but you don't want to be holy enough and separated enough, and you don't want to be filled with the Spirit of God enough to, if he wanted to take liberties with your body, that you would put a stop sign up and say, no, sir. You would listen. You want to be worldly enough to hang on to it.
Right.
What if we come in here and laid our telephones and you opened your music app? We used to, preachers used to preach against TVs.
Yeah.
And that tool that you have in your pocket is more dangerous than a TV you ever thought about being. Are you listening? You want to sing There's No Other Name. I love to tell the story. He's still waiting at the well.
Yep.
But when you get in the car, you want to flip that music app open and listen to everything else. You'll live right when mom, dad's looking over your shoulder. See, you're torn into a double mind. A man is unstable in all his ways. You don't want to live bad enough to bring all that heat down on you. But you don't want to live good enough to have to bear the reproach of what it really is to be a Christian. We're trying to, y'all get right there. Y'all two get right here. This is what we're trying to do. Y'all two hold your hands, pull that way. You two hold your hands. Brother Joe, get up there. He's probably going to need a little help. Amen. Some of you, let me get a good hold on you right there. Some of you are living right this right here. You're about to get pulled in two. You won't let go. You won't let go of that old God. You won't let go of the gods of your fathers that were on the other side of the flood. You won't let go of the gods of the day that you're living in. And man, you're trying to go for God over here, and this crowd's about to pull you in two. I mean, when are you going to get tired of being pulled in two and decide, man, I choose today. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. There's a following. I remember reading about a little boy. He wanted to be a part of the wedding. And they tried to find him something to do. So this older man said, I tell you what you can do. You can sit people down. He said, when you come in, you stand there and you put your arm out and you ask the people, are you here for the bride or are you here for the groom? And he said, whatever they tell you, that's what side you sit them on. Well, the little fellow felt like he got all that taken care of. And all of a sudden, the first person came in, he threw his arm out, and he forgot what he was supposed to say. He was real nervous. And he got that little lady's arm. He said, whose side's you on? You know, really, that's really about what we've been saying this week. Whose side are you on?
Yep.
Whose side are you on? If I saw you at Walmart, if I saw you at the sporting goods place, would it tell me whose side you're on? You're going to have to choose. You're going to have to choose. One of the most, here, we're all husbands up here. Probably the most frustrating part of being a husband is this question. Very simple question. Where do you want to eat? You'd never think that World War 3, 4, 5, and 6 could start from such a simple question. Honey, where you want to eat tonight? I mean, man, I've been there 30 years. I can't tell the difference between my wife's voice, the Holy Ghost, and my conscience. They all sound the same. I mean, they all sound the same. Miss Amy said, that's exactly right, Daddy, so you just listen to mine. I'll help you, praise God. Amen. Where you want? Y'all have that problem? Is it just me? Is that a Southern thing? I don't know. Amen. Where you want to go? I don't care. I don't care. All right, well, let's go over here. No, I don't want that. What you want? I don't care. Okay. Well, let's go over here and get a double bacon cheeseburger with mayonnaise, ketchup, and pickles, some of them homemade fries. No, I don't want that. That's too greasy. What do you want? I don't really care. And you know, after about the fifth time, I'm saying, do you like walking? Because you're about to be. Do you care about that? Can I get some other husbands that got a backbone enough to say amen? I know some of y'all are sitting out there thinking we're hypocrites because our wives all up here. I'd say amen with her sitting right beside me holding my hand. Because that's the truth, friend. Amen. That's in the concordance of the Scofield Bible. Amen. Are you listening? You young men, mark my words. Come see me when you've been married longer than 3.5 minutes. Amen. Can't make up your mind. But we suffer from that in our youth groups. We suffer for that in our churches. I'm talking about when you get sold out to where Sunday school's not an option. Sunday morning, soul winning, Sunday night, choir practice, youth activities, Wednesday night, Thursday night, youth conference night. I'm talking about so sold out and chose to be a Christian where you go through your apps on your phone and you delete them. I'm talking about going through the closet and getting rid of that stuff. I mean, even going through your own relationships and friends and say, man, you're not helping me serve God, I love you, and I'm going to pray for you, but man, I'm going a different direction than you are. A critical responsibility. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 15. There's a crucial resolve. I got to hurry. Notice this decision. Choose you in the next few years. Choose you when you get married. Choose you when you're a father. Choose you when you get out of college. Choose you when you get out of high school. Choose you when you're raising your children. Choose you when you're middle age. Choose you when you've already got the promotion at work. Choose you when you've got a degree. Choose you when you're a middle aged man. No, he said, choose you this day.
Amen.
Today.
Right.
Today. Not someday, but today. Elijah said this. He stood on Mount Carmel. How long halt you between two opinions? There's a prioritized direction. Then there's the possible. Notice what he said. He said, whether the gods, what you gonna serve the gods your father served on the other side or the God of the Amorites? He names the other option, the God of your fathers or the God of the Amorites. Let me just be honest with you. I know you've got options. I know you've got options. My question is, what you gonna choose? I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of our time is spent holding kids close enough to the fire until they will make the right choice.
Right.
Will you trust me?
Amen.
Come trust me. Put your heel of your shoe right there. Let me have your hands. Now just lean back.
Both of them?
Yeah, both of them.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Some of you are doing your best to get out. I won't drop you, I promise. Even if I let the other hand go, I won't drop you. How many of us adults are sitting here today because a man, a Jehoiada in our life, when we were leaning out, never would let go. He just kept holding on and holding on until we finally said, I want to serve the Lord. And all of a sudden,
amen. Amen. I want to serve him too. Amen.
Who was it? You said this morning, a daddy, Dr. Treber. Who was it that held you on long enough?
Amen.
Who is it? Is it Brother Ferreira? Was it a message that's been preached this week? Your youth pastor, youth director, a parent that loves you? You got options. We'll have camp. I bet this next year will be our 20th year of camp. The saddest day of camp to me every year, and it has been for 20 years, is the last day. The last morning, all we do is really break down the camp, and at the end of that, we do a little picture presentation of the week, and at the end of the day, we put them back there that morning before they get on buses and go home. We put them in the backside of that sanctuary. Kids all over the place. And sadly, now y'all pray for him, but this, and I'm not a negative Nelly. I like to have fun, smile, but my heart breaks every year. Because I look at that crowd, and this is my thought, who won't make it back next year? Not because they've graduated out of the youth department, not because they've graduated from high school, but because they've did exactly what you said. They've turned their back, walked out of the door. I heard somebody make this statement, for every one that we win out of the world, we're losing four that were raised in church back to the world. Now, I've got a finance degree, and I've got a son that's an engineer that took four calculus classes. His last class had more numbers in it than it had I mean, letters in it, then it had numbers. I said, I thought you were taking math, not English. But I don't have to have an advanced degree to realize we're losing ground if we win one and lose four.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.